Hello, friends. This is Ted again, and I've got a fantastic guest on today named Robin Openshaw. She's a 16 times author. She started her own company years ago called GreenSmoothieGirl.com. She's into health and wellness, and she's also a former university professor and a psychologist, and the mother of five beautiful children. Her websites are GreenSmoothieGirl.com. And also another one is takeactionforfreedom.com. Robin, welcome to Out of This World Radio. I'm so glad you could be here today.
Thanks for having me, Ted. I've been so impressed seeing your audience grow like it has, and it's good to be with you again.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. Well, I had to leave. I was broadcasting in Seattle for 7 years on KKNW, but I finally had to leave this past summer because of censorship, severe censorship. And it was a good station. But now I've expanded to San Francisco, Miami, Florida, and Vienna, Austria, and my listener base in all three countries has exploded. I've also started another Spanish English program as well out of San Francisco, aimed at Mexico, Central and South America. So it's been a wonderful journey, and the purpose of this show is to raise consciousness and make this world a better place. And what I love about you, Robin, is you're doing the same thing in a different way, but you're raising consciousness and making this planet a better place by making people aware of these important issues we face today.
Well, thank you. Yeah, my last book is actually called Vibe, Ted, and it's about the frequency of everything, the vibrational frequency of everything, from the emotions that you stay in, because an average emotion lasts 90 seconds. And so if a negative emotion is lasting more than 90 seconds, it shouldn't be. And we can change that. But it's also about the vibrational frequency of foods that we choose, and everything has a frequency. And so the book is super, it's not super sciencey, but it's basically talking about raising consciousness, but with maybe a little bit different language. It's light on the science and high on the practical applicability of how to raise your vibration. So
wonderful. Wonderful. Well, one of my projects I'll be starting next month is to try to clean up Fukushima in Japan. And I'll be doing that by raising people's vibration and through prayers. And also, it's a long story, but I follow the work of Dr. Masaru Emoto, and he found that if you send positive thoughts to a glass of water and you write love and gratitude on a bottle of radioactive water, within 48 hours, all the radiation will be gone. And it was one way to clean up radiation. And so I'm going to give that a try in cleaning up Fukushima. It's been going now in Japan for 11 years, which is too long. The Japanese government right now wants to dump 1 million tons of radioactive water into the Pacific. And I think if they do use these alternative methods, they'll have a lot more success. But anyway, that will be starting next
year. That can't happen, because it's not just Japan that affects. That's been affecting people on the West Coast, including your listener audience in the Bay Area, for many years. Last I heard, the Bay Area was the highest rate of breast cancer in the world. And my guess is that has a lot to do with Fukushima. We can't afford another 100 million tons of radioactive garbage in the water.
Well, I would love your help. I'm going to be starting it next month. I've got some things to take care of this month, but I have the help of lots of good people around the world, including several Nobel Peace Prize winning scientists to help out. So it's going to be an exciting journey, and I've asked the Emoto office in Tokyo to help me. I mean, they're only located about 4 hours away from Fukushima. It's very close, and I know the work of Dr. Emoto can help them out. So there's a lot of things that can be done. The Tokyo Electric Power Company, is a little stuck because they haven't considered any alternatives to traditional methods of cleaning up radiation, which really don't work very well. But anyway, that's my next endeavor, and I'd love to have your help. Moral support would be wonderful. I'll starting that next month.
Yeah, that sounds like a great project. I'm so glad you're taking that on, Ted. There's so many people these days who are, you know, keyboard warrioring or doing nothing and hoping someone else fixes it. But I love that you're taking that project on. It's a big one, and that's really important.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Robin. I really appreciate it. Well, you know what? I love your work. You speak out where, you know, you go where no one has gone before, like on Star Trek. And I have to tell you, you've got a fantastic post here, which I've read, and you talked about the coming social, for lack of a better term, the bad boys are doing to try to institute a socialist state here in the United States and elsewhere, by destroying the economy, making forcing people out of work, making all these fake lockdowns for no reason other than to control us. You've written so many good things in this article. It's hard to know where to start, but I'll let you start it off because you've got a lot to say. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I don't know if what I'm saying is if there's anything really new because I'm really culling. I've now spent since March 1st, a little bit before that, actually 2020. I estimate I've spent over 1,000 hours researching what's really going on in our world. Sure. And so I don't know that what I've been out there saying, which has gotten me in trouble on multiple platforms, I've been heavily censored like you have. I sort of leave my public figure pages alone, like I told you. I'll go out there and say something when I think it's really important, but mm-hmm. for the most part, it's my personal page where, you know, I mean, there's still 15,000 people following, but I will say whatever I think it will serve, whatever I can to mm-hmm. wake people up. But I think people are really confused if they think that Donald Trump winning this election is going to fix it. I think mm-hmm. Donald Trump winning, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Mm-hmm. I think Donald Trump winning has to happen as a first step in just saving democracy since right. the election was stolen from him and all of democracy in the United States of America is over. If we don't reclaim the election and either throw it out and do something yeah. else that right. the Constitution allows, or I don't think this will even be entertained, but like get some kind of a redo that doesn't involve all these softwares, which I don't think that'll happen. But I hear a lot of people saying, oh, this is all going to go away after the election, or if Donald Trump wins, we'll be fine. And my concern about that is that then we aren't taking the personal responsibility that we need. Right. Not just that each of us needs to know what's really going on here, which isn't about a presidential election. For sure, Trump is the only leader of the first world nations that is standing in the way of the global agenda succeeding. Right. For right. sure, that's true. Mm-hmm. However, we've got to become aware of what's going on. When people are like, oh, I think there's going to be a civil war, I say, as soon as someone says that, I know that they don't actually know what's going on here.
Yeah, sure.
They don't know what's going on here. They think that this is left versus right.
Right.
They think that this is the Democrats versus the Republicans. And it's much bigger than that. It's what I think we are looking at is the final battle between good versus evil. Mm-hmm. And a battle between the conservatives, you could say it's the right, but conservatives, mostly Christians, definitely some Jews and some, you know, non-religious people as well, but the good people of the world, the people who know the beginnings of this country and what a profound miracle it was that we not only acquired freedom, but have been able to live in democracy and peace for 244 years. It just never happens. It's a miracle. The United States Constitution was such a miracle. Now we have, you know, half of us who want to rip it up and throw it away and just become like the rest of the world, which is corrupt. And there's only rich and poor, the ruling elite and the slaves of the world, which will all be equally poor if they're successful in eliminating the right to own private property, for instance, the right to run a business, for instance, everything that I am is the goal is to eliminate it. Standing up for holistic health against mm-hmm. the allopathic model where everything gets mm-hmm. drugged, everything I stand for, 100% of it,
yeah.
they're against this evil force, this globalist cabal who have been organizing to right. orchestrate what we're now seeing happen. We have to take personal responsibility. We have to get educated on what's really going on. We have to not be reductionist. It's hard. It's hard because you have to think pretty expansively. You have to get out of this idea that it's Republicans versus Democrats or, you know, so we gained a few more seats in the House. These are all distractions. I pay attention to them too, sure. but I have to always remind myself what this is really about. And this is something that we all have to get awake, get prepared, and be prepared to take a big stand. Right. You know, take a big stand when we're about to be the walls are sort of shrinking on us, and they don't do it all at once. Right. They don't do it all at once. They do it very gradually, so that most people aren't noticing. Most people are slowly accepting each step that they take.
That's the plan.
And the walls closing in.
That's the
and
plan.
And we have to step back and we have to take a look at what it is that they're actually doing.
There's a famous quote from a priest in Germany, Nazi Germany. And I don't have it handy, but I can tell you, I can paraphrase it for you. He said that when they first came for the trade unionists, he didn't complain because he wasn't a trade unionist. When they came for the Jews, he didn't complain because he wasn't a Jew. And then when they finally came for him, there was no one left to complain or protest against him because everybody else had been taken. And that's kind of like what's happening today. If you look, there's a famous experiment done with frogs. I'm sure you know about it. Frogs in boiling water. Robin, you know about this experiment
yep.
where they
sure.
put frogs in. If they put frogs in a pot of scalding hot water, they'll jump right out. Okay, too much change, too much high temperature. But if you put frogs into a pot of room temperature water where it's comfortable for them and you slowly turn it up and then they boil to death. And that's the same politically, I think the same thing happening in today's world too. You had a fascinating post. I just want to summarize it. It's a long post, but it's a good post. And you've got the plan of the negatives is to first mentally condition masses of sheeple. Second is to have the middle class spend or lose their savings, wipe out their businesses, wipe out their restaurants, bring them down to their knees. And third, get rid of people or dumb them down or get rid of people with critical thinking skills. And that includes censorship. So nobody gets the information they need to make a good decision. I thought that was very profound what you had to say. You have a lot of good things to say in this article. But
well, they just have to get rid of the right to free speech. Every single country mm-hmm. that has descended into communism, which is well over 50 countries in the last 50 years,
right.
You can look at what they do. And in every single case, because I used to teach this at a university level, just 100 level, basics of socialism mm-hmm. and communism and what each are. And I found that most Americans don't even know what socialism or communism are, including my own governor in mm-hmm. the state of Utah, the incoming governor and the outgoing governor. They don't even know what socialism is. I mean, it's easy enough to Google, but they have to destroy free speech.
Right. Exactly.
And they have. They basically have.
There's a rumor going out. I live up in Bill Gates' country. In Washington State. And there's been a rumor, persistent rumor for years now that the free flu shots that these drugstores and clinics have been giving out to people for the past 5 years actually have nanobots. They've been experimenting with nanobots already in these flu shots. And one of the nanobots teaches people to obey, and they change the genetic makeup of people so that they obey government, they obey corporations. And it's amazing to me how many sheeple there are out there that don't question what's going on today, even though a lot of the masks and social distancing regulations don't work. And also, too, they're completely illegal.
Yeah, that's an interesting theory. If I don't know if we should call that a theory or what, but I just watched David Icke this morning while I was out for a run. I've run from the state of Utah to Florida. We can talk about that if you want. But from the communist state of Utah, which has been considered one of the most conservative states in the country, literally right. ran from there, despite owning a lot of property and all five of my children being there, uh-huh. to the state of Florida, where we have a governor who I consider to be a great American hero, mm-hmm. Standing up to all this, probably under phenomenal pressure that most of us can't even understand.
Sure, right.
We are under siege. I can't remember where we were even going. What were we talking about?
We were talking about nanobots in the free flu shots.
Yeah, Celeste Solem being interviewed by David Icke. I watched that for 90 minutes, very much along the lines of what you were talking about. She said that Mexican scientists are working on putting the hydrogel into mm-hmm. foods. They want it as many places as possible. And I guess the more you get into your body, which you can never get removed, you can never detoxify it. Mm-hmm. Heavy metals are so toxic. They've been in vaccines for ever, but right. these nanobots, that can be, that have payloads and that have specific purposes, the more you get, the worse it is. And so I have that question, Ted, as I look at it's a strange thing to watch half of the people be completely brainwashed. And, when I was in grad school, you mentioned, when you were introducing me that my background is as a psychologist. So you know, I was a psychotherapist, and that's my educational background. But in grad school, we had to learn about a very famous KGB experiment in the 1960s that spanned years. But they learned through these pretty evil KGB experiments on real life human beings that if you tell human beings a lot, and you just summarized one of my Facebook posts, but this one was a Facebook post that once it hit 800 shares, Facebook disabled the share button. So then I had people screaming at me, why can't I share this? And I'm like, because you're dealing with Facebook. But right. I said, so there's these famous KGB experiments where they told a group of people a lie, not a small lie, a big lie. Okay. You know, that famous Nazi said, the bigger the lie, the easier it is to get people to accept it. They told people a big lie. They had lots of people telling the same lie all day, every day. And what they found is that after 2 months of that, and this just goes to show you that brainwashing is real.
Right.
That after that point, when the people were effectively brainwashed, and it didn't work on everyone. Okay. Some people can see the lie early and stay strong against the indoctrination and come out of it unscathed. And this is what you and I are talking about, is why are you and I, why did it fail on us? And that's a decent theory that maybe there's lots of specific garbage they've put in the flu vaccine that makes a lot of people more compliant and more likely to obey, because I could have never predicted the way people would react to this and how many people would bow their heads to it and accept lie after lie after lie. But here's the thing, after 2 months, when you effectively brainwash, most people will fall prey to it. After that point, when they're effectively brainwashed, there is no amount of clear, compelling, obviously true evidence to the contrary of the lie they've been told that will cause them to change their mind.
Right.
Once they're brainwashed, there is nothing you can say or do that will cause them to let go of it. And I've actually been experimenting with a colleague of mine. You probably know who he is. He's very well known. We're both authors in the same space. And he has taken this hard left line of, there's a killer virus, we got to shut down the world. He's pro everything. He's pro contact tracing. He's pro vaccine. He's pro handing over our freedoms to the government, all of it. And he's, you know, historically a liberal. And I stay in conversation with him. I talk to him virtually every day. We go back and forth. And I'm just, he's my keeping a pulse on what the left thinks. Wow. And I stay in dialogue with him, even though it's very uncomfortable sometimes, because it's good for me to stay in conversation with someone who I actually see as helping, aiding, and abetting the enemy, right?
Sure.
And he has said the same thing to me. Like, I'll say to him every once in a while, like, hey, I really value these conversations because they help me know what your side sees. Cause I'm not understanding why so many people keep going along with the lies, even though they've been exposed to be lies. I mean, every single thing they've told us from the beginning has shown up to be a lie, and yet you're still ferociously defending it. Like, I need to know what's in the head of tens of millions of people. Some of whom are my closest friends. And he has said the same thing to me. You know, about once a week, one of us will say to the other, these conversations are uncomfortable, but I highly value them and I highly value you. Well, and I've respected you for many years, but it doesn't matter how many things I take him. Like, he had no idea who Carrie Mullis was. He had no idea there was any controversy whatsoever about the PCR test, except that the test has too many false positives and too many false negatives. And I said, hey, I won't say his name. Oh, we'll call him John. Hey, John. It's not that there's false positives and there's false negatives. It's that the test doesn't diagnose COVID. It can't diagnose COVID. Its founder said, do not use this to diagnose.
Right.
And I know that you know this. You're way down the rabbit hole. You know this. But that's the thing, is the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on the human population
97%
relies on this fundamental flaw, this fundamental lie. And it's been so interesting to, and he says, oh, that's not true. And I'll bring him a video that Spiro did that shows several quotes of Carrie Mullis in front of groups of people saying exactly what I told him. And guess what? It does not move the needle in my friend, my colleague, my very brilliant, wonderful man, does not move the needle in his thinking in the slightest.
A lot of people,
I can tell.
Yeah. A lot of people, for example, after World War II thought that the concentration camps in Germany were fictitious and that it was all a lie to hurt Hitler. You know, that's the kind of, it's very difficult to break through that. But there's something else you have to realize too, is 70% of municipal water supplies in the United States are fluoridated. Fluoride shuts down the pineal gland, which shuts down your intuition, which makes you into working zombies. The first person to use fluoride in water supplies was Adolf Hitler, who used it in his concentration camps because he wanted to create obedient, docile worker bees in Germany, which he did during the war. What's interesting today is that the Germans have realized that, and there's not one water system anywhere in Germany that uses fluoride today because they know what it's used for. Here in the United States, in Britain, it's 100% of all cities have fluoride in their water. In the United States, it's 70%. So part of that zombie mindset comes from fluoridated water.
I've wondered that too, and maybe that explains why Germans are out in the streets, a million of them at a time, banging their pots and pans and demanding accountability of their communist governors that they elected. Right. That they elected and then they turned on them, just like our governors and our mayors are doing, because they've apparently sold out a long time ago to this agenda. And so maybe that explains that. I mean, it's nothing more than a theory at this point, but yeah, I was just talking to my husband about that this morning because we have the same idea. Is it the fluoride that my husband and I have been avoiding for decades of our lives? Is that why we don't have a calcified pineal gland? And we were able to see this as a lie, because I'm telling you what, Ted, I'm not saying this to brag, because I think in a lot of ways, I'd probably be a happier person if I just was accepting this all the way down the line. Like my
ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. Ignorance is bliss. They're right. Leading lambs to the slaughter, but I bet that the lambs to the slaughter have been enjoying 2020 a lot more than I have.
Yeah.
But you know, I didn't buy it from day one. I was screaming about this on Facebook on February 27th. Right. And even my own employees, some of whom have left my employ since then, because they're so disturbed by my reaction to it. My employees would say, but Robin, it's just 2 weeks to flatten the curve so that, you know, and then they would say that. And I would say, yeah, and this is literally, you know, the first lie, right? The two weeks. To flatten the curve is rolling out, I would say, well, I would agree with you if that weren't a lie.
Yeah, right. So. Well, I had Judy Mikovits on my show back in May. And Judy, of course, is a famous scientist, and she's done a lot of work on all kinds of things. And she's interested in the virus and, you know, how it's and how what governments are doing about it. And she said, I told her that my governor, Inslee, here in Washington, was going to open up things in June. And she said, don't bet on it. He's going to keep that going as long as possible. You watch, he'll kill it through the end of the year and then some, which is exactly right. You know, everything he said,
every single thing I've said since March has come true. And the things that I was saying in March, April, and May, and I had lots of people, some of them people I've known for 20, 30, 40 years. People were calling me conspiracy theorists. It's such a cheap way to ignore information, to just label it conspiracy theory and ignore it. But I had many, many people on my personal page. I was saying the same thing as early as March. I was saying, just watch this. It's not 2 weeks. It's not 2 months. This is going to be, we're going to see this go to the end of the year and beyond. And nobody could believe it. Nobody could believe it. And they would call me conspiracy theorists. And sadly, all those people are gone on my page. It's not that I did anything. Some of them were just so abusive in calling me and anybody who was questioning the government and the media agenda, anybody who questioned it, they were just so abusive and calling their names. I guess there's a few people I did block, but for the most part, they left of their own volition and went over into their little information silo where they don't get any information outside of what mainstream media is telling them. And so that's one of the things that's so fascinating for me about my daily exchanges. We share information with each other. We leave each other 10-minute voice texts. We talk almost every day. This colleague of mine, who I really like, have always really liked, have had many collaborations with, who's on the far left of this, and all of his information is coming from the New York Times and whatever is, and CNN and MSNBC and the like, is it's really, really interesting to see how every single time they roll out a new phase of this whole agenda, they have carefully planned how they're going to combat the reaction of people like you and me who haven't been heavily fluoridated. We don't have a hardened calcified pineal gland, and we don't have lots of nanobots from yearly in our ranging our brain from our annual flu shot, because we never have gotten a flu shot,
right,
or whatever it is, whatever right, it is. It is so fascinating to me to watch how they have to, they quickly regroup and they get out there and they control, they literally control the internet.
Right. Right.
So for right, instance, Judy Mikovits went out there and it was very interesting to watch. I interviewed her too, and it had more downloads than my show has ever had in any given episode.
Uh-huh.
It was an amazing interview with her.
Well,
and when her book was coming out, and what was fascinating is that Ted, within a week of her book coming out and her getting massive attention, and mm-hmm, some of these, you know, we're getting six figures in downloads. It was interesting to watch 9 mainstream media outlets do a hit piece on her within a week.
Yeah, it's all controlled. I don't know why more people just don't sue some of these media outlets, because it's very easy to write up a civil rights suit. The filing fee is $400, and you write it up. It's all form driven, and away you go. It's simple. It really is simple.
Are people winning them?
Yeah, they are, because there's no grounds for Facebook and the rest of them, or whatever media outlet you're dealing with, to defend themselves. But again, it's you know, we've got to reclaim our power. Absolutely. Now, you're not on video today. But I wanted to tell you something that's really fun that's been happening for the past half hour while we've been talking. I am covered in angelic light right now. And it's so bright on the right side of me that it's just amazing. I'll send you the link when I air it on my show.
I can see it. You can't see me, but I can see you. You do. You look like an angel, Ted.
Thank you. I had to take my wings off, otherwise I couldn't sit down. But there is a... The other thing too, I want you to notice is that there's a book by a fellow named Strong Thurman Arnold, Arnold. I read it when I was going to college at UC Berkeley many years ago, and it's called The Symbols of Government. And often it's not what the so-called leaders or political people are saying. It's how they couch themselves, what their buildings are like, what their surroundings are like. And if you look at the news conferences that my governor here, Washington Democratic Governor Inslee, he never has any humans around him. The humans are at least 30 to 40 to 50 feet away from him. And there have been speculation that our governor here is not even human, that he's actually a reptilian, because most reptilians hate humans anyway. And so they have this wide space between them. But anyway, that's kind of fun to talk about. That's a whole other area.
I've seen mashups of Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, Bill and Melinda Gates, where they show them... What do they call that? Where they're glitching? It's like they have to like reboot, yeah, and they like repeat themselves, yeah, over and over again, or they, yeah, say lots of gobbledygook words and they look robotic. Like, oh, and Mark Zuckerberg. Like, there are lots of pictures where you can see like how much they've changed. And I don't have an opinion on it, but it's interesting and scary to think that we may have people who have agreed to be altered in the course of years or decades, but. Some of the things that I hear, you know that Bill and Melinda Gates scene where they're sitting there on camera and he talks about how, oh, when the second wave of this comes around, that'll get people's attention. I mean, they literally look possessed. I don't even know what else to call it.
Well, what,
it's so psychopathic, not just what he says, but if you're awake to what's really going on,
sure, right,
it's absolutely psychopathic.
Right. Well, the reptilians do have cloning technology, and they've given that to darker elements of the United States and other governments around the world. And they do clone people. In my book, Messages from the Masters, I talk about that, how President Jimmy Carter was killed and cloned in mid-April 1979 after he wanted full UFO disclosure, and George Bush Sr. refused to give him the information. That's a long story, but some say that Obama's been cloned as well as Hillary Clinton. They say that Hillary Clinton actually died in October of 16 after a heart attack, and she was replaced with a clone, advanced clone, since that time. So it raises a lot of interesting issues, Robin. Yeah, a lot of interesting issues. Well, tell me this, my friend. I think we're going to get through this, and I think people will become stronger as a result. And I know that the darkest hour is always just before dawn. At least that's what the old Janis Joplin, or the Mamas and Papas song used to say. But what do you see for the future, Robin, in best case scenario?
The best case scenario is that Jesus comes again. And by the way, all of a sudden the light came. When I said that, the light came and it just changed and you like totally turned radiant. It was fascinating. And the colors behind you changed. That was really interesting to just watch right there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thanks.
I think that best case scenario is that the followers of Jesus Christ see their Savior again and that he comes to save us from this. Best case scenario is Trump takes the White House by the Supreme Court standing behind the Constitution and behind democracy and letting him get back in the White House. And I know I said, hey, Donald Trump can't save us from this, but we need Donald Trump. We need someone who values democracy and isn't a corrupt cabal politician. Best case scenario is the people, the good people of the world, not all of them are Christians, right? But Christians were warned about this, and Christians are fairly organized to think, oh, there is an end of times, and there is a final battle between good and evil. Like this was fairly easy for us to recognize that we may be in that time, but that we get organized enough, and that we stand up to it, and that there are enough of us who say no to the COVID vax. Because the COVID vax is just a Trojan horse. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of bad stuff in it, but you know, that's not their agenda. Their agenda isn't to give us one set of two vaccines. Their agenda is to get the tracking in us and force us to be vaccinated from cradle to grave with whatever it is they want.
Well,
so they have full control of us. So best case scenario is we stand up to this and we win.
The negatives have something, as you know, called Bohemian Grove. And in Bohemian Grove, they worship what's their god is called Lucifer or Baphomet. Baphomet is a half female, half male entity with a goat's head and half human. One of the things people don't realize with the MMR vaccination and likely with this new COVID vaccination is that they use human fetal baby tissue from both, of course, girls and boys, aborted fetuses, and they inject it with the MMR vaccination into little boys and girls. And when they get, like a boy gets a female fetal tissue into their system, they eventually think that they're a woman trapped in a man's body. Vice versa for men, when they get a female fetal tissue injected in their little bodies when they're like 1 year old or a couple months old or 4 or 5 years old, later in life, they feel like they are a woman. And so you get this transhumanism or transgender kinds of things happening. And I think it's yet another agenda. There are a lot of agendas here, but there's another agenda by the negatives to change our sex, to get us confused and to decrease population, because that's their ultimate goal is population reduction. That's another whole rabbit hole, but I wanted to mention that too as well.
Yeah, the first time I'd heard that is when I interviewed, after I interviewed Judy Mikovits. My audience loved that content so much that I went and interviewed her co-author, Kent Heckenlively.
Great guy.
He's a science teacher and he's an attorney by education, but he brought that up, that when you're injected with the DNA or RNA of the other gender in these aborted babies that are unfortunately in our COVID vaccines. And by the way, the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine has the fetal tissue of a 14-week-old male Caucasian abortion. That's on the ingredient list. You have to look up the ingredients because of course they don't say those words on there, but look up the recombinant ingredient. If you get a chance to get your hands on a box of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine that's coming out. But he's the one who brought that up. And so I keep asking experts about it. And of course, nobody's doing that research or publishing it where we're going to see it of, hey, how much gender dysphoria is what we used to call it. It used to be a diagnosis. You know, we used to call gender identity disorder. Well, now they don't want it to be disordered. Now they want to normalize it, and they don't want gender to be a thing. And so they've worked very hard to get us to be, you know, to get us to adopt words like gender fluid and things like that. But now they don't want it to be confusion, and they don't want it to be a dysphoria, and they don't want it to be a disorder. And so now we're to celebrate that our children, when they're in sixth grade, can say, hey mom, I don't think I'm a girl. I think I'm a boy. We're supposed to, We're supposed to go with that and run on in between 2017 and 2018. Gender reassignment surgeries, including in minors, increased by 400%.
Wow.
Just in a one and a half year period, 2017, 2018, 400% increase in gender reassignment surgeries.
Wow.
I have friends whose children are getting gender reassignment before they're 16.
Oh my God. Well, you're saying that that's the effect, net effect of the MMR vaccination, which is being forced upon many poor kids around the United States and the world. And they get sick too. I mean, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been on my show before, and he said that many, if not most, of the chronic illnesses in childhood for kids here in the United States stem directly from MMR vaccination that people never had before. So you ask yourself, well, why are we getting these vaccinations when they're not necessary? They cause us harm. They cause a lot of autism. The MMR vaccination is blamed for autism, a surge in autism here in the United States. In 1996, for example, there was only one case of autism per 10,000 people. And now it's something like 1 in 43 for girls and 1 in 22 for boys. And
there's data in New Jersey that it's 1 in 27 there. And I'm the mother of an MMR vaccine injured child. My first child was perfectly healthy. It was born at 9 pounds, 23 inches. And then at 4.5 months, right after the MMR vaccine, it was in and out of hospitals with asthma, horrible life-threatening asthma. He almost died many times in the course of a year after that. Then I had to detox him. I put him on an extremely pure diet. We did lots and lots of things to bring him back from near death. But that started my journey. It started my journey of health. It started my journey of studying what vaccines really are and what they do. I was young. I was a young mom who was doing what all moms do, who vaccinate their children. And anybody who's listening to this, who vaccinated their children, I'll give you a hug and tell you that we did the best we can, didn't we? And we did the best we can with the information we were given by people who didn't bother to know the risks themselves. These doctors don't even know what's in a vaccine. Nobody should get a vaccine without asking the person administering it if they can tell them all of the ingredients and what the risks of each of them are. And I would be amazed if anybody could find a single vaccine provider who can tell you 8 of the ingredients in there.
Right.
They don't know. They don't know. I've asked many of them. You can go watch Vaxxed 2, the movie, where they got a bunch of medical doctors to get on the bus. These are people who are already awake to the fraud. And they got on the bus and they told the producers, Del Bigtree and the other producers of the Vaxxed movies, they told them, we weren't taught anything in medical school about vaccines. Right. We weren't taught what was in them. Right. We weren't taught what those ingredients do. We had no idea they contained heavy metals. We had no idea they contained aborted human beings.
Right.
Only thing we were taught is that they're safe and effective. So if anybody thinks your doctor would never give you a shot if it wasn't safe and if it wasn't extremely low risk, then you need to know how very little your doctor was taught about vaccines.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, this is a time of truth, that things are true will become evident as being true. And those that are false will become evident as being false and fall by the wayside. I had a wonderful astrologer on my radio show 6 years ago, Susan Miller from New York City, who said that. I'll never forget that. And she said that this time of truth will last for thousands of years here on this planet. And you're seeing that coming to light now. We are also shifting into the higher dimensions. And as we shift into the higher dimensions, people will be able to communicate telepathically, and they'll be able to read each other's minds, so that if someone's lying or not telling the truth, you'll be able to see that instantaneously. So we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us, Robin. I believe this will be overcome. And, back about 5 years ago, there was a lot of talk about a nuclear war between the United States and North Korea. But thanks to President Kennedy, actually, who was assassinated 5 years ago, I don't know how many years ago, 57 odd years ago, yesterday, he said that he's been working tirelessly for peace. I talked to him about the North Korean situation 5 years ago, and he said he was working behind the scenes to stop any nuclear war. But we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. And we are not going to go down into nuclear war. That was one of the timelines that some some people predicted back in the 80s and 90s that we would go into nuclear war, a third world war. It's not going to happen. And we've made better choices now, and that's why the planet is starting to ascend now. So I know it seems dark right now, and it is dark, a dark time for humanity, but we're just about ready to turn the corner. That's how I look at it. And all these negatives will not be able to succeed in their plans. That's how I look at things now.
Well, I love that vision of the future, and I love to listen to anyone who has a great take on what, it was a great question you asked, what the best case scenario is, mm-hmm. because it's easy to get down. And if you think about the fact that it's possible that our enemies, the enemies of light, right. You call them the negatives. It's possible that they put out there a much worse future than is going to happen so that we get discouraged. I mean, wasn't it World War II where they dropped leaflets down on the American soldiers to try to demoralize them? I mean, that is a well-known tactic.
Yeah.
So let's don't fall prey to it. Let's, you know, my big thing is, you know, for the last 9 months since I put up takeactionforfreedom.com, my big thing is to convince people to take action. They aren't used to in the United States of America, we aren't used to having to heavily resist our government. We're not used to having to stand up to them because we've always thought of them as our elected officials, and they try to do what represents us best. And we're not seeing that right now. And so we have to take action to find all the most effective ways to actually take action. That's my big message.
With voting systems controlled by people like Nancy Pelosi's husband and the Clintons, who own Dominion voting systems. I mean, the whole thing is just a joke. I mean, how could Biden win? I mean, seriously, you know, he had trouble getting 10 people to one of his rallies where people were sometimes a million plus people with Trump. I mean, obviously, it's just they say that Trump won with 80% or more of the American populace voting for him. And it's just such a joke. I mean, if the true election results aren't validated and Mr. Trump is not inaugurated in January, we could have a civil war on our hands. Actually, there is a time traveler that my friend Alfred Weber interviewed recently named Young Chin Cho from Korea. He comes from the year 2100, and he came back here to help President Trump and also to tell people what kind of future we have. There's two timelines, he said. He does see President Trump getting reelected, inaugurated in January. However, if Joe Biden was somehow managed to hold on to the election and get reelected, there would be a civil war here in the United States. And also there would be a nuclear war as well, he said. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but that's what he said. And he seems to be very credible, what he said.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen that way. We also have a lot of support from the Galactics, the Galactic Alliance, benevolent extraterrestrials who are helping us, and all eyes of the universe are upon us right now, Robin, and they're helping us every way they can. For example, the Pleiadians, which are a human civilization in the fifth and sixth dimensions, they come from a constellation, the Pleiadian constellation, which is 464.6 light years from planet Earth here. They're here. They have 2.5 million ships right now circling the planet, and they're helping us with the ascension. I go frequently aboard their mothership and visit with their commander, but they're here, and they're helping us.
Fascinating. Yeah, I was just shown yesterday a Facebook video by a very passionate woman. Imagine a beautiful young Black woman in from England. That's who was talking. And she was begging Americans to not let our country fall to Biden and to corruption. And she was begging us to realize that if we fall, everyone falls.
The world falls. Yeah, that's what George Washington has told me, too. I've been talking to him quite a bit recently. This election is more than just the United States. It's the world at stake. And the decisions we make in the next couple of months will determine our future for tens of thousands of years. That's what he said. Wow. So we have to make the correct decisions. And not only on a mass level, like the U.S. elections and a world level, but also on a personal level, too. Because we are supposed to evolve now and shift into the higher dimensions. But some people are still clinging to the old systems. They're not willing to be honest with themselves and honest with the people they love and care about. about what kind of choices they make. They still think, they still worship money as a god, and they're corrupted. And some of them are not going to ascend. President Kennedy has told me several times in the last couple of months to try to leave no neighbor behind and try to bring as many people as possible along with you. But it's difficult, especially when the water's fluoridated. Many people have received nanobots and the flu shots they've gotten to obey government and corporations, and they don't think. But we're supposed to try to raise their consciousness to help with this ascension process, because if they miss this boat, the next time around will be 25,800 years from now, or one Mayan Ketun cycle, when this planet will go around the central sun of this universe again for a second try for ascension. That's how the cycles work. So you either get on board now, or you wait 25,800 years for the next chance for ascension.
Yeah, let's make it happen now.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Shall we?
Yeah, I agree with you. 25,800 years is a long time.
Yeah.
I'm getting more light on me now. This is really nice. This has never happened before. Well, I've had a couple, but not like this. Not this much. The whole thing has been bathed in light the whole time. So let me ask you this. Robin, if people wanted to change things, can they join you in your efforts, or can you give out your website again and maybe give some ideas about what people can do?
Yeah, so Green Smoothie Girl is my platform for 14 years, and it's health and wellness. But what I've been doing this year, you know, it's not a business. It's just me trying to organize Americans to take action. And I've learned a lot in 9 months now of almost full-time activism. Mostly I have found you got to win this at the local and the state level. And I have done everything from run dozens of protests to have people send tens of thousands of emails to our elected officials. In Utah, we're probably the best organized in the entire United States, mostly because I woke up to this so very early, and I had staff and I had tools and softwares and experience with internet marketing, so that I was able to start organizing quickly. Oh, and I've done live events. I did 450 city speaking tour over the course of 6 years. So I kind of took all that experience and my staff's experience, and we put it to work. And so we have mounted a serious resistance against our rogue, unconstitutional, sold out outgoing governor and incoming governor. They're both extremely corrupt, and we have helped change the dialogue in Utah. We've helped shut them down over and over again. The governor just had to retract his mandates trying to control Thanksgiving and say that we can't have Thanksgiving with our families, and that I would have I'm going to have a $10,000 fine for going to see my parents.
Oh, please.
Or they could fine my father $10,000 and put him in jail for a year for hosting his own daughter.
It would never wash. No judge would ever authorize that. Believe me, you have to take him to court.
And the legislature and some lawyers got the governor behind closed doors, and he backed off of it, which I've seen very little backing off. There's been a Denmark just got their their country to back off by being out there taking action. And so at takeactionforfreedom.com, I mean, I have a Facebook page that's Take Action for Freedom, but we're just heavily throttled. So I've really reorganized on Telegram. You can find me at Robin Openshaw's Take Action for Freedom. That's a group name on Telegram. And then there's just go to the website, takeactionforfreedom.com. You asked what action people could take. In Utah, we're you know, really focused, and that's where most of my emphasis has been, as I've figured out that, wow, the best way I can actually affect change is on the local and the state level. However, we wrote a declaration. It's based on the Constitution. It's extremely detailed. And we had many thousands of Utahns sign it. And it basically says, we terminate the fake emergency and we terminate all the illegal mandates, because we the people have that right under the Constitution. It spells it out. If anybody listening wants to do a declaration for your state, we will help you. We will publish it. We'll help you. You have to write it. You have to take ours in a Google Doc, and you can, you know, change the details for what your governor has been doing to destroy your freedom and your lives and your schools and your businesses. So just go check it out, takeactionforfreedom.com, but join our newsletter list. And if you feel so inclined to be the author of the declaration for your state,
That's what we have to do. We, the people, have to take back our state from rogue government who is not representing us any longer and is actively destroying our education system and our small businesses and the middle class. So that's what I'm all about. You're definitely very, you know, in the spiritual dimension, Ted. I'm on the super like front lines, physical realm of concrete actions that we can take to stand up to this.
Right. Well, we're all doing our part, and that's the beauty of this planet. We're all like little snowflakes that have different water images. It's like Dr. Moto showed all these water crystals, beautiful water crystals he showed. But we are powerful spiritual beings, and we can create a much better and happier world. Part of that is just by thinking positive. Know that our thoughts do create reality as we're shifting now into the fifth dimension. You know, I have to tell you a little story. Nostradamus, with the help of Dolores Cannon, a famous American psychic back in the late 80s, Dolores Cannon wrote a 3-volume set with the help of Nostradamus and her psychic students on the future and what was in store for humanity. Well, one of them was that one of the predictions made by Nostradamus in those books, it's called Conversations with Nostradamus by Ozark Mountain Publishers, it's still published, is that we would shift into the fifth dimension by the year 2038. Well, guess what? We're shifting into the fifth dimension now, this year. One of the first places to go right now, as I speak, is Mount Shasta, California, which is now shifting into the fifth dimension. So that we are 18 years ahead of schedule right now. It's because of our choices, good choices we've made. There's been no nuclear war, which was forecast by Nostradamus in the late 80s in his book. So that timeline has shifted, and we've shifted it. People like you, me, everyone listening today, all the light workers in the world, we've all made a difference. So don't listen to any nonsense that we can't do anything about it or they can't be stopped. Nonsense. The power comes from us. And then, you know something? If the people lead, eventually the leaders will follow.
I totally agree with 100% of that. The one thing none of us should ever do is say there's nothing we can do about this. The alternative is unthinkable. It's not what people of courage do. It's not what people of faith do. It's not what parents do. We must take every action that we can. And honestly, I'm happiest when I'm taking action. In this last 9 months, which have been a very difficult 9 months, especially as I dived into all this information, the time when I am happiest and most fulfilled is when I'm taking action and serving and thinking how to organize others and executing on those plans to stand up to the evil.
Right, right. Exactly. Could you give out your websites again, please?
Of course. It's takeactionforfreedom.com. And of course, there's my 14-year-old. This one gets millions of visitors every year. This is my public figure platform for many years, greensmoothiegirl.com. So takeactionforfreedom.com is my free speech, standing up to the corruption and the tyranny website. And then for health and wellness and all the things I've been doing as a career for 14 years, it's greensmoothiegirl.com.
Great, great. Well, you're doing fantastic work. And I want to give you the rest of the time now, the next 2 minutes, to please wrap up your beautiful interview.
Well, thank you for saying that. I have run from the state of Utah to the state of Florida, and I hope that everybody will pay a lot of attention to what's going on in your state, because there is an actual cosmic spiritual battle going on in your state, maybe in your town, maybe in your country. And I hope that you will all take a good hard look at it, and you'll get very aware of where your state legislators stand. In every one of the 50 states, you have a House of Representatives rep, and you have a senator. I hope you'll reach out to that person. I hope that you'll reach out to your governor on the regular, your governor and your lieutenant governor, and tell them how you feel about what they're doing. If you're like 47 out of 50 states where the governors have sold out to the cabal, you need to be telling them how their actions affect your life. Our governor, because we have been so loud and we're so organized, has shut down all the lines of communication except his social media. So we've organized there. And we have a group of 250 of us who, every time they tweet, every time they post on Facebook, we are there reminding them of the actions their actions affect on 3.2 million Utahns. So it's not hard to do those things. You just have to be willing. You have to take a little bit of time. Reach out to others, start where you start, and please do take action for the future of our children, the future of our grandchildren.
And all the angels are with you, Robin, and they're all helping and protecting you. And I want to thank you so much again for all your beautiful work and for coming on my show today. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Ted.
All right, Robin, keep up your good work, my friend, and love to have you on again anytime
soon. Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you so much for coming on.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye.